Amen. All right. Thank you, Jeff. If you have your Bibles tonight, take them and turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we've been spending these Sunday evenings for some time thinking about the mind of Christ. We've been reminded of the responsibility we have as followers of Jesus to allow the Holy Spirit to place in us the mind of Christ. So I'd like for us to read together tonight. If you'll just take your Bible and follow along, we'll read together beginning in Philippians chapter 2 and going through chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for a good day that we've had today, this wonderful Sunday, a day to be together in fellowship and to worship and to honor Jesus with our praise and adoration, to hear your word and to allow you to speak to our hearts. So tonight we ask that you would help us to have another understanding of how we must learn to have the attitude of Jesus, humbling ourselves, thinking as you thought, Lord Jesus. We honor you as our Lord and Savior. We worship you. We follow you, Lord Jesus, and we seek to ask you to help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to learn to think and live like you thought and like you lived. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all that you've done that we might have life and hope and peace. Give us for a few minutes focus and a lack of distraction so that we might truly hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's go back again now and review for just a moment. Look at some of the thoughts that have to do with your mind. Make my joy complete, verse 2, by being of the same mind. So there is this possibility that Paul calls the church of Philippians to do and also calls us to do at First Baptist Church and all of God's people, to learn how to have the same mind. The same mindedness. This is the importance of learning how to think like Jesus, focused on the things that Jesus would think about. You remember what Jesus said? He said, I only say what the Father has told me to say. I only go where the Father wants me to go. I only do what the Father wants me to do. Mind, same mind. Maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent, there's another one of those mind words, intent, with an intention. We have an intention. We are we make it our purpose, our intention, to have one purpose, and that is to honor the Lord Jesus and to glorify God. We do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Another word that has to do with the mind. But with humility of mind, we regard, another mind word, humility of mind regards others as more important than ourselves. So I always have the opportunity to challenge myself to think, am I living with humility of mind? Well, it's how I regard other people. Regard other people as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but look out for the interests of others. And then we came to this incredible, incredible song. We know, many of us know this to be one of the early hymns of the church. Oh, how I wish we could know the tune, but we have here the text. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then we saw this great description, verses 6, 7, and 8. The description of self-humiliation and self-renunciation. Look at these words again. I'll only read them, not spend my time on them. Though the Lord Jesus existed in the form of God, begotten of God, fully God, not created, but fully God from eternity, He did not regard equality. He did not choose to consider His equality with God something to put Him ahead. He emptied Himself. He changed His mind about His responsibility. He took the form of a bondservant. He became like men. Became one of us. Flesh and blood. Fully man, fully God. And being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. And as Ryan reminded us, he gave us our Greek lesson, Thanatos Staros, even Thanatos, death on a Staros cross. So now we come to the other side of it. We know that the Bible tells us, the book of Proverbs says, humble yourself, God resists the proud, He gives grace to the humble. We know in the book of James, we know in the book of Peter, the letters of Peter, we're reminded of this same principle, that humility comes before honor. Humility comes before exaltation, recognition. Humility is first. God does the recognition. God's the one who recognizes us. So we find here this description of God's recognition of Jesus from His humility. Notice this. For this reason, verse 9. For what reason? The reason that Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason, for the reason of the Lord Jesus' willingness to be humble, to humble Himself, to put the interests of all of us before Himself. For this reason, He was humbled. He obeyed God to the point of death, even the shameful cross. And for this reason, God highly exalted Him. God honored Him and exalted Him. If you'll look with me for just a moment in Hebrews chapter 2. On Wednesday nights, the group that's with me, we're looking at Hebrews together. And I'd like for you to look in your Bible in Hebrews chapter 2 for just a moment. When Paul is talking about the submission, the subjection of Jesus as a man, we read, but we do see Him, verse 9, this is Hebrews 2, 9. We do see Him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death. Look at this though. Crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. Here it is, crowned with glory and honor. Crowned with glory and honor. I'd like for you to also look in Acts chapter 2. As Peter's preaching in these early days, in Acts chapter 2, verse number 33, I want to go back up. Peter says, beginning in Verse 29, "Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead," prophet David, "and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are witnesses." Verse 33. "Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear." Having been exalted to the right hand of God, having been crowned with glory and honor, this is our Lord. This is his exaltation. Tonight he is exalted, as the book of Hebrews describes for us so powerfully. The majority of the chapters of the book of Hebrews speak about the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, who is ascended, who is in his eternal ministry in heaven, waiting, seated and waiting until the time when he comes again to carry out judgment and finish fulfilling the promises that God has made to Israel and to David. But you see, now we see Jesus not crucified, but glorified. He is not with us in physical presence. He's gone to another place, an eternal place, beyond our imagination, but as real as us being here together tonight. He's in that other place, exalted. We come back to Philippians chapter 2 now. We read, again, "For this reason God highly exalted him." And then we read this very important statement. "He bestowed on him." I'm reading from the New American Standard. You may have another translation. This is a beautiful word. "He bestowed on him." This is like an honor given to him. This is like something that's been placed upon him because in recognition of what he has done. "He bestowed on him the name which is above every name." Now I want you to read these verses very carefully, because they describe for us something that is universal. The recognition of Jesus is now universal. How do I know that? Well, look at your Bible. "Every name," verse 9. "The name which is above every name," verse number 10. "So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow." Every name, every knee, and every tongue, verse 11, will confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every name, every knee, and every tongue, regardless of the language, every name. Let's start there. Names are very powerful. In the day of the Apostle Paul writing these words to the Philippians, the Christians were going to have a little bit of a problem with Rome not too far in the future. They were already feeling the pain, but there was going to come a time, and it came in the early first century church, where you lost your life if you weren't willing to take some incense out of a little holder and take the incense and bring it over the fire and say, "Caesar is Lord." Seems like a little thing, doesn't it? What harm could there be in just taking a little bit of incense? I'm speaking of church history now. I'm not making this up. All you had to do was simply take the incense, bring it to the fire, and say, "Caesar is Lord." And thousands and thousands of followers of Jesus would not say, Caesar is Lord. They were burned, they were crucified, they were fed to wild animals because they would not confess Caesar's name is greater than Jesus. Well, that was in that day, but maybe there's some other names. He has given him a name which is above every name. Oh, his name is greater than Muhammad's. His name is greater than Buddha. His name is greater than the most famous families in American history. His name is greater than all the tribes that make up the nations of the world. All of the Islamic countries, the countries of Asia, the countries of Europe. He has given him the name which is above every name, every generation of names. There have been lots of famous people that have come across this earth. The name that's greater than the leaders of Babylon and Egypt, all now in the waste of time, gone in the dust of the past. All those great kingdoms. There's one name that remains, the name of Jesus. I want you again to see in your Bible tonight, this is the one whom we choose to follow. For this reason also God highly exalted him. He highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, the life-giving name, the powerful name, the greatest name, the name Jesus. The Lord saves. Yeshua. He has given him the name which is above every name. Oh, your family name may be great. I don't mean to offend you, but your name does not compare to the name of Jesus. It's the name above every name. No matter what you name your children, no matter what your own personal name may be, it's the name. The name, when the name of Jesus is spoken. This happens all over the missionary world. When the name Jesus is spoken, curiosity is piqued in some people's life. They've not heard of anything else. Todd wants to take some of our young ones and go climb those mountains in the Himalayas where people have never heard the name Jesus. But did you know there are people here that haven't heard the name of Jesus? That's not one or the other, it's both. Somebody this week needs to hear you say the name of Jesus. I hope you're not ashamed. Now, somebody might tell you to quit talking about Jesus because we don't do that kind of stuff at work. We don't do that kind of stuff at school. Well, then you'll have to make a choice, won't you? Because he humiliated himself and he was obedient to the point of death. Our Lord Jesus is our example. What do I worry about in recognition? Nothing. I humble myself and do what God calls me to do, and I leave the recognition to the Lord. He's given him the name which is above every name. Every name, now we go to the second. Every knee. This hasn't happened yet. I was privileged to serve in a church that was built many, many years ago, First Baptist Church of Dallas. And Dr. Criswell, many, many years ago, believed this so strongly that he put in a Baptist church kneelers. Do you know what a kneeler is? Do I need to explain what a kneeler is? You know what it is, don't you? Do you know? Some of you are nodding. Okay. It's a rail on the back of the chair, and you pull the rail down, and you can kneel. Now, if you've gotten to be my age, you can't hardly do that anymore without a cane or somebody to help you. I know I'm not alone in that. Every name, it's the name above every name. And because it's the name above every name, it leads to kneeling. Now, that's our posture before the Lord Jesus. So we've talked about bowing. Look at this again in your Bible. so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Let's read this, Isaiah 45:23. If you take your Bible for a moment, in Isaiah 45, we're reading this glorious statement about a future event. There's a future time when Jesus comes again that all knees will bow. All those that have been brought back from the dead, the resurrected dead, those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, oh, there will be bowing. There will be bowing. Isaiah 45:23, I have sworn by myself, the Lord has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. No matter whether you speak English, Chinese, Korean, an Arabic dialect, those things that we say come after how we bow. First we bow. Notice this. Who bows? Those in heaven. Verse 10. Who bows? Those on the earth. Who bows? Those in hell under the earth. God has highly exalted the Lord Jesus. He now has ascended as our great high priest. He has ascended to that glorious place, carrying out His ministry. He understands your needs. Have you talked to Jesus today? He's your high priest. He knows how you feel. He knows what you're going through. In His exalted, glorified condition, He is your high priest. He comes to our aid when we need it. He listens to what we have to say. We approach the throne of grace and we speak to Him because He is the one with the name above every name. And we bow. We bow. Every knee shall bow. I often think of it. It is the most beautiful picture, one of them, in the Gospels. You know, you have to use your imagination when you read your Gospels. I know people make movies about it, but you need to use your imagination. Before there were ever movies about the Gospel, people just heard the Word of God and had to imagine it. One of my favorite stories of all time will always be, you know, Jesus got out of that ship and that crazy wild man who could not be chained up. Everybody was afraid of the wild and crazy man who lived in the tombs. What did he do when Jesus showed up? Somebody want to tell me? What did he do? He ran toward Jesus, and what did he do? Throw a chain at him? What did he do? He bowed. He kneeled. And the demons cried out, "We know who you are. Why have you come to torment us? Please, don't send us to that place of judgment. Let us go to the pigs." A chained man in all the torment of demon possession bowing before Jesus. And you got a bunch of Jewish people who would never bow to Jesus. Every knee will bow. Oh, Pastor Mike, that's just imagination. That can't really be real. The Bible says it's real. The day will come when all of those who've been created, who've walked on the face of this earth, the dead lost, and those who are saved, eternally saved, and have a new resurrected body, there'll be a great time of bowing, bowing in Jerusalem, bowing, bowing, because God has highly exalted him. And finally, every tongue will confess that, here it is. This is the phrase of the early church. This is the phrase, these are the words that Paul the Apostle and all the unknown, unnamed believers in the first century carried throughout the world till it came to Europe and we've been blessed because of their willingness to go and tell that Jesus Christ, Messiah, Jesus Messiah is Lord. Those words rang across the ancient world. When the Roman soldiers hauled them off and said, just say Caesar is Lord, they said Jesus Christ is Lord. And in the blood of all of those who were martyred for the faith, to this very day, by the way, who are not ashamed of Jesus' name, the blood just keeps bringing more and more to Jesus. How many times do you think it happened that those Roman soldiers, as strong, and they were very powerful, they were a rough group. They were tough soldiers. You got to remember, the Roman Empire lasted for 1,200 years. It's quite a record. How many times do you think it happened when they were killing Christians? Some of them had to think, what courage. What faith? What makes these people, what makes these men and women and students, young people, say this and do this? They came to know Jesus because of the confession of those who suffered for Jesus. The same is true today. Every tongue will confess. The busy businessmen who are too busy making money. The world rulers who meet to talk about how things ought to be and what they're planning to do. Every tongue will confess. Every tongue will confess. Everyone will say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So tonight we're reminded that God's recognition comes whenever He chooses. And what He expects of us is to have the same attitude Jesus had. Humble ourselves. I'm not the most important. You're the most important. I must be willing to change my attitude so that I might show my willingness to obey God whatever He places in my life. Let Him take care of the recognition. Let Him take care of the honor. We live as Jesus' humble children, His humble servants. And we look forward to the day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we go tell somebody this week. I hope you will. Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, what are we going to do about this, that, or that? Jesus Christ is Lord. How are we going to solve this problem? Jesus Christ is Lord. Is anything ever going to get any better? Jesus Christ is Lord. You say it when the world is coming apart. You say it when you're having your happiest day. You say it when nobody else will say it but you. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the words of Paul to challenge us here in 2018. 2018's almost over, Lord. We're all older today than we've ever been. We all face multiple challenges in our life. Some are very hard, Lord. We sit here tonight overwhelmed by the pressures and struggles we feel in our personal life, and we also are overwhelmed by the great needs of the world and the cry and the pain and the wickedness and the sin, the brutality, the poverty, the hunger, all of these things all around us, all around the world. And we say, Jesus Christ is Lord. We say it when we're sick. We say it when we're well. We say it on the best of days. We say it on the worst of days. Jesus Christ is Lord. And if we can't physically kneel, we kneel in our heart and our mind. In our heads, we bow. And we confess. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us that we might have life. Thank you for your humility as an example to us as followers of Jesus. May we learn from it. May we live by these principles. So while you have your heads bowed, perhaps tonight is a night that the Lord's put on your heart. You need to come be a part of this church. We want you to do that. Let's stand right now for just a moment. Let's stand together in an attitude of prayer.